This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
What's up, Paleo Dudes? That's your new name. That's the new name for the listeners of the show Paleo Bites. I think it's great. Anyways, I got a Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you'll find bonus content for the Ritwit and Paleo Bites, my two podcasts, my two lovely podcasts. And for the Paleo Bites stuff, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about the Velocipaster. This is a real movie, I swear to God. Most of the budget went to the poster. Look at the poster, it's freaking badass. But the movie itself is just... it's great, though. We have a good time. We talk about this ridiculous movie about a pastor that turns into a velociraptor. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's a good movie. It should sweep all the Oscars this year. I mean, what else came out this year? Link is in the description for where you can find the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a wonderful day and a wonderful year. I mean, this year was terrible, but it's nearly 2021. We're nearly there, guys. Come on. We can do it. We're so close. Or it already is 2021, because I'm going to put these in episodes that came out at 2021, too. So we're either nearly there or we're already there. Either way, 2020 is behind us. Thank God.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleo Bites, the podcast with all the answers about paleontology, or at least some of the more entertaining ones. My name is Matt Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. Although this one's not really an animal, but we'll get to it. this month I'm joined by my dear sister and... who's here visiting a baby that my other sister had.
Some random baby.
Yes, this baby they found on the street.
Yeah. Matt's niece. Yes. My niece as well.
Yes. Logan. Jennifer Grossman, a.k.a. Blake. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a nice day. It just snowed recently. We're recording this...
Crazy.
We're recording this in September, but it's probably... come out way later. I record these way in advance. This will probably be out based on the one I have here.
But yeah, it snowed the first week of September, which...
1/26/21 is when I'm planning on this coming out. So
the middle of winter.
Yeah. But here in September, we got a really early snow.
Now it's back to 80 degrees.
Yeah, but it cooled down a little thanks to the snow, so that's good at least. So I like to open up... podcast by asking my co-host like a dinosaur related question, and so I
okay
just something random. I know you really really like Jurassic Park, that like especially
like
particularly
Jurassic
the
Park.
First one.
Yes.
So what is your favorite piece of dinosaur media that's not Jurassic Park?
piece of dinosaur media.
Yeah, just something that features dinosaurs, I guess.
You know what I love?
Yeah. What?
Do you even remember this? When, like, you were a kid, we had this, like, Choose Your Own Adventure book that was...
Oh,
like,
yes, the time travel one.
Yes, I loved that.
Yeah, that one was good. I remember that. And unlike other Choose Your Own Adventure books, though, sometimes in those, you could make the wrong decision and you'd die. But this one, you couldn't. You would just go in a loop, I think, if you were in the wrong path. Or you had to be...
There was something where you... The other Choose Your Own Adventures are kind of lame. Like, you end up dying a lot. Like, you,
right,
you just get to a dead end.
Yeah.
But this one somehow was like a puzzle because...
Right, exactly.
You
had to collect stuff. Yeah, that's right. And get evidence, yeah.
But it was so good. It was, like, the best Choose Your Own Adventure book ever. And it sort of was educational about dinosaurs.
Sort of.
There was something about an Archaeopteryx.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And I remember, there was one instance where they mentioned Dimetrodon was an amphibian, which is not true.
But I learned almost everything I know about dinosaurs from that Choose Your Own Adventure book.
They're pretty good. I like those. Yeah, the time travel ones. I remember reading that one. There was a couple about dinosaurs. There was one about Atlantis. There was a sub-series of time travel Choose Your Own Adventure books. Two of them were about dinosaurs. Some of them about other things. But the dinosaur ones were the coolest ones.
Of course. I wonder why Choose Your Own Adventure books went out of style.
I don't know, but in my other podcast, The Ritwit, we talk about not Choose Your Own Adventure books, we talk about second person. There was one episode where we did the different types of prose. You know, you got first person, which is, you know, I did this.
Right.
Second person is pretty much exclusive to Choose Your Own Adventure books. It's you did this,
You
did that. Then there's third person, which is like Bob did this and Bob did that.
Which you have a lot of. You have a lot of third person and first person books. Yeah. Not so much.
Yeah, second person is very rare.
But choose your own adventure.
Yeah, because it's you choosing the adventure. So it makes sense to be you. So.
And also not popular. Second person.
They were for a bit. Well, the choose your adventure book, second person wasn't. I've seen a few books that briefly go into second person just for you to get into the shoes of a character. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Like, yeah. So I remember this one book. It was a novelization of one of the Star Wars movies when Darth Vader became Darth Vader. And it goes into it for second person for a bit at the end. As well as periodically throughout it.
Are you Darth Vader?
Well, yeah, but it's like, this is how it feels to be Anakin Skywalker. Like, you're in constant pain. You don't even have lungs anymore. It all just pumps it from tubes in your mechanism. You're more machine. Like, it just goes on. And it really makes you feel more immersed
in the character.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that was a cool use of it, but the whole book is in second person, just those bits. But anyway, so today we are talking about an interesting specimen for this show.
Normally, yes, as you said, it's not even an animal.
Not really. It's a bacteria-like single-celled organism.
But it's more of an idea.
Yeah, it's not like we have fossils of this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't even know that it existed.
Right. Well, it had to exist at some point.
I was thinking about this, and not necessarily, right? What if...
That all different life forms evolve independently? Or like...
No, I was thinking, what if life originated twice on the planet?
Oh, okay. Some of it became one group of organisms, some became another group?
Right.
Possibly. Right. I don't know.
I mean, we have life on the planet. We don't know that it all originated from one... occurrence.
Right. By the way, we're talking about Luca, the last universal common ancestor.
Luca.
Last.
It's an acronym.
Yes, last universal common ancestor.
And so it is what it says it is. It's the...
It's a hypothetical organism that was the last ancestor
of all life
every other bit of life on Earth. Plants, animals, fungi, bacteria.
But hypothetical, because we don't know what it is.
Right. But so I still have all these stats for all my episodes that I like to go through. So like size, diet, time, location, which it's kind of weird for this one.
Right. But I think an important stat is hypothetical.
Okay, so type hypothetical bacteria-like single-celled organism. Size, microscopic. Diet, chemicals, probably from deep sea vents. Probably. time, anywhere from the early Hadean to the early Paleoarchaeon. 4.5 to 3.5 billion years ago.
Oh, wow, and you've got me there. So why do we think that?
I don't know. I just read that on Wikipedia.
We should maybe look at it.
Yeah.
I mean...
I'm looking at it while we're reading, while we're recording. While I'm so professional. Okay. Studies from 2000 to 2008, this from the Wikipedia article, have suggested an increasingly ancient time for Luca. In 2000, estimated suggests that Luca appeared 3.5 to 3.8 billion years ago in the Paleo-Archean era, a few hundred million years before the earliest fossil evidence of life, but then a 2018 study shows that it's shortly after 4.5 billion years ago. Now, what these studies read, I don't know.
Right, right. So it's way older than the earliest fossil evidence.
Yes.
Which makes sense.
Because, like, there's earliest form of life, there's earliest indisputable time of life, when we know that they're at this time, so...
Which was, like, yesterday, right?
Basically.
In...
Location, I have here, somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me.
Right.
I don't know where it is, other than in the ocean, probably.
Probably, or these vents.
Described 1859 by Charles Darwin when he first proposed the theory of evolution, technically.
That's cool.
Technically not described, as this is a conceptual organism,
right,
but this is where
right.
the concept first surfaced. Pop culture appearances, your 8th grade biology class.
Oh.
So,
here... I don't know if I learned about evolution in 8th grade biology.
I don't know. I didn't go to 8th grade. I was homeschooled from, like, 3rd grade up till
That's
college.
That's right, right. And I went to the 8th grade in Texas where they weren't comfortable
they
with
were,
evolution.
They were like, so... back in the day, Jesus made all the animals.
Right, right.
Yeah, I remember talking to... a customer back when I was working at Starbucks, and I was talking to them about my Paleobites show. I was telling them I do a podcast, one was about dinosaurs, and they're like, oh yeah, it's really cool, all the creatures that lived before the flood. And I'm like,
oh.
yeah, it was. I just smiled and moved on.
Right. Wonder what they think of Luca.
they probably, it was God's first breath or something.
One thing I don't get is, so, like, if Luca is the last common ancestor, what was before Luca?
Other creatures that were also common ancestors, but they didn't...
But they died off?
Yeah. Luca probably had contemporaries.
Luca had contemporaries. But we just don't know them anymore, because...
Yeah, either none of them survived...
didn't survive.
Either none of them survived, or they evolved... They kept going into organisms that eventually died out with no descendants.
But why isn't Luke... And I know, you know, Luca's like a bacteria-like thing, so it's not like Luca's father. But why isn't Luca's father the last?
Well, because that one's not the last. It's the second to last.
So the last is like...
That's when, I guess, right at the point, at the precipice where they all started splitting apart, that's Luca.
Luca, right. Right.
So this is, yeah. whenever mitosis or something happened.
Right, what's going on.
Yeah,
yes.
that one was going to become this group of creatures, and this one was going to become this group of creatures. Just before it happened, that's Luca. I don't know.
And how would we know when we found him?
I don't know. That's why it's a conceptual. Again, it's not like we have fossils, and if we did, we'd be like, oh, that's just another bacteria.
But there, if you believe that, you know, life originated from one instance, which I think
Well, this
we
isn't
do.
The first instance. This
no,
is,
absolutely. Right,
yeah.
Right, right. It's the last universal.
Yes. So
not the first. But... So there must be one, right? Like there
right.
must be a last universal comet.
Yeah, that's the thing. Unless you bring up like it, each like different ones became
right.
different pendulum because I think they don't know exactly what forms life yet, right? But they have an idea that comes from volcanic vents somehow, and there's some sort of
just because there's a lot of energy there.
Yeah, so and some sort of carbon mixture
and
like
yeah, right.
Yeah, so
but that's like life on this planet, and that's based on.
Yeah.
What we have.
And right, and who's to say that didn't happen multiple times
right,
on Earth,
right.
and some of them never actually branched off together, I don't know. But then you have that one theory that life on Earth didn't actually originate from Earth, but from comets from space that had the life already in it, and then slammed into the Earth.
Or what if you had both? What if you had life originating on Earth, and then you had some life that originated from comets?
Right. I don't know how I feel about that theory. I mean, it's cool, but I'm like, well, how do we know? What does it... What's the evidence? I mean, I'd be fine all for that, but what does that really change?
It doesn't really change anything, right? Because then it's just like, well, where did that comic come from?
Right, it just postpones the problem.
If it's
the
an
problem.
Unlikely event on Earth versus an unlikely event on a...
In a galaxy so
far away. And a comet happens to come here, you know, whatever. It's still... We'll actually have better luck studying it if it happened on Earth.
Right.
It's easier to study Earth.
But I just... What I think is funny is that, like, even, like, looking at just life in general like we have now, like, I know life is all about branches, but it's also, if you view it as lines, there are certain points where if you're an only child and you decide not to have kids, you are the end of a line that lasts all the way to Luca.
So, yes, I suppose.
I mean, it's a branch. It's not
the
like
great
a...
thing, right? Yeah. And the great thing is, it is a branch, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, there's all this other humanity that shares a lot of your genes,
right?
And
exactly.
So, the line, you know, the line matters, but at the same time, really what you're reproducing when you reproduce is like the bulk of your genes,
right?
Because your kids
but
have
most,
half your genes,
right?
So that's a lot.
Most people, most genetics is the same, right? Isn't a lot of
exactly.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't most of genetics unwritten? Like it's like
oh, you mean like the DNA doesn't code for anything?
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Like yeah, so. That's why, like, in Jurassic Park, for instance, that famous documentary, they could
which
use...
Which we both like.
They could use frogs to fill in the gaps, because the blank DNA of a frog is theoretically exactly
the same as the blank DNA.
So that's why you didn't have dinosaurs that looked like part frog.
Right. In Jurassic Park, which would have ruined the movie.
Yeah. Have a hopping T-Rex. It was, like, just grabbed insects with its tongue.
But yes, most DNA doesn't code for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
and then a lot of DNA doesn't code for proteins. A lot of DNA codes for like regulatory mechanisms and things like that.
Right.
But anyway, like you were saying, even a lot of DNA is the same. Like
right.
even though your kids would have more of your genes than, you know, somebody else's kid.
Right.
Somebody else's kid has, like, 99%
of right,
the
well,
same
don't humans and chimps have,
yes,
like, 99%
yes,
the
exactly.
same DNA?
Right. So humans have... I think it's a kind of cool thing that we share a lot of the same genes.
Right, that is pretty cool.
And the same, you know...
Unwritten material, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that I'm quoting directly from Wikipedia because I'm a professional. The most commonly accepted tree of life, based on several molecular studies, has its root between a monophyletic domain bacteria and a claim for it by archaea and eukaryota.
Yes.
So that's kind of where it all started to split, kind of. So,
that's Luca?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Location of the root is what it says.
Yes.
So.
Yes, the root of the tree of life.
Yeah. It's weird. It's, you know, life is so fascinating. And, like, they're finding out, like, if the... what caused it is so universal. Like, surely it must be because life on Earth evolved, like, right when life on Earth was possible. So if life were rare, you think it would evolve a lot later.
So, I've heard that theory before, put a different way, and I guess it's true?
Like, that's, I don't know, like, I could be wrong, but that just seems interesting to me. Like, that...
I can't remember the name of the theory, but they're, you know, in physics, right, there are all of these constants, like Planck's constant and all of these things.
Right.
And there's this idea that, that the universe only exists because those constants are exactly what they are.
Right.
Like, if they were slightly different, the universe wouldn't exist and we wouldn't
yeah,
be here.
Yeah, I've heard something like that.
Talking
well,
about them.
I think it's more
kind
flexible
of the same
than
thing
that.
With life, right? Like, if you say, well, life on Earth, you know, evolved as soon as it possibly could, maybe we got lucky. Maybe.
That's true. I guess that maybe that's true. Well, but just like there's they think of like
and everywhere else in the
well, there's the Fermi paradox. I've heard the Fermi paradox.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
and the Drake equation.
Yeah, the Drake equation doesn't make any sense to me because there's no constants in that equation. It's all variables, and that doesn't mean anything. Then
that's the point is that you can. That's the point.
I just don't like it. It could just be anything. It could be anything from one to Google, and it wouldn't matter.
Right, and we don't know because we don't know what all those variables are.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But you like the Fermi paradox?
Yeah, I like the Fermi. I think it's fascinating where it talks about like the different, like one theories of the Great Barrier, either it's behind us or ahead of us, and I don't know. I don't know how what it's like. Humanity doesn't seem like it's doing too great right now. So maybe we only have a couple thousand years left in us.
But isn't a big part of the Fermi paradox just where'd everybody go?
Yeah, but that's the thing. If the Great Barrier is ahead of us, what if we're about to hit it, and everywhere else on life on Earth, it could get up to this far, and then it just destroys itself. Like, there could be lots and lots of life out there, but we wouldn't know it just because it's all animal-like. Because that doesn't emit, like, a signal.
Right, because it's on many moons far away, and they don't...
Yeah, like, if an alien was looking at us, and all it could see was dinosaurs, because...
Right.
Because it was so far... It was either that far ago or whatever. It wouldn't know. I mean, I guess you could figure out by the chemical composition of the atmosphere because of methane and other stuff.
Right. But so, yeah, then the whole question is intelligent life.
Yeah.
Or life that is going to send radio signals.
Right.
Or some other kind of signal.
Specifically radio signals. I don't get why that's...
which is a weird kind of thing,
yeah.
Too. Because I have heard a theory that, like, that it's sort of strange that we're so focused on intelligent life. And what we mean by intelligent is, like...
Like us.
Things that send radio signals, because we send radio signals, right?
Yeah.
And that if elephants, you know, I don't know, ran the world, they'd be looking for other things with trunks, because...
That's true. So they really like tapirs.
And be wondering, yeah, and wondering, like, where all the other things with trunks are. Because...
Well, see, like, well, you know, while I think life, as we know it, like... Yeah, maybe we're lucky, or maybe it is very common and just happened right when it's possible. However, intelligent life, I think that requires a lot of exacts. Like, a lot of... Because, like, life on Earth has lasted for a really, 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 really long time without intelligent life on it.
Yes.
Like, if you... I think I've read that if you take the time of the formation of Earth to now and condense it to a day, humanity doesn't evolve into, like, a couple seconds to midnight or something like that. So...
I can't remember what the book is, but I have a book that has a fold-out page at the beginning that has, like, the time from the beginning, and humanity is way at the... They're, like, several pages that fold out.
Basically, so...
It's at the very, very end.
So, yeah, we could just be a fluke. It could just be...
It could.
Like, I think there probably is a lot of alien life out there, but none of them have gotten the fluke, or at least none of them we have seen, none of them have gotten the fluke of intelligence yet.
It's they also could. Just, you know, lots and lots and lots of space.
It is.
It goes on.
It's true.
Forever.
It's true.
And it takes a really long time.
Well, the one that blows my mind of how big space is, there's this one famous image that the Hubble Space Telescope took a picture of, where it's just a bunch of galaxies, like 27 galaxies that you can just see up front. There's probably way more, like maybe thousands in it somewhere there. Just look like stars as it goes on. But this picture was taken in an area of the sky a quarter of the size of the moon.
Wow.
So imagine all those galaxies with all those stars just in that one image, and then stretch it to all over.
And still it's like, it's a few stars, mostly void, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, 90% of stars are red dwarfs, which... are difficult to have Earth-like planets on because they'd have to be tidally locked. Mm. Because they're so small and they emit so little light. In order for it to be an Earth-like temperature to, you know, do in the Goldilocks zone, it'd have to be so close that it would have one side always facing the sun, the other side always facing away.
And I suppose that causes problems.
Well, it's just, it's frozen on one end. You have one pole on the night side.
And I guess life can kind of only live on the, like...
Like the
equator.
What's it called? The Terminator. The Terminator or something like that.
Okay.
It's like, that's what's called on the moon, where it's like the light side versus the dark side.
It's
called
the Terminator? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, cool. Something like that. I don't know. Anyways, Luca.
Anyway, Luca, yes, last Universal Common Ancestor.
I mean, that's basically all that we can say about Luca with any certainty.
Right.
I mean, if you're interested, look at the Wikipedia article.
Right.
Yeah. This is a great podcast.
And we're glad Luca exists.
Oh, yeah. So, we get to rate 1 out of 65 million. Our definite ancestor.
It's cool, right? It's everybody's ancestor. Everybody.
Yeah. It's your ancestor. It's your dog's ancestor. It's your houseplant's ancestor.
Ant's ancestor. Right.
It's your fungus's ancestor.
Bacteria.
Yeah.
Everything. All life.
The mushrooms that you smoked's ancestor.
All life on Earth.
Yep. So 1 out of 65 million, or rate it basically 1 out of 65 million.
Luca?
Yeah.
Oh well. I mean, I'm gonna give it better than Dino Island.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were here on the Patreon. That was way earlier.
Okay.
Than this
okay.
Time.
Okay.
But yeah, for more on that, yeah, you were on the Patreon where you reviewed Dino Island. But
I mean. Luca,
I'm gonna give it 65 million because without it, we wouldn't exist. And I guess on its own, it's not. I don't know what it looks like.
It's, right.
It's probably just a little sludge.
It's tricky. It's. I want to give it a high score.
But what would it lose points for?
I don't feel well. See, it doesn't seem fair to dock it points because we don't like know what it is. that's our problem, not its.
Right? That's true.
So okay, so I'll give it 65 too. 65 million. Yay, Luca!
Yay! Thank you, Luca. You did good. You survived, and here we are.
And here we are. All life on Earth. I mean, that's impressive. That deserves a high score.
Yeah, I think that anyways. All right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us, or contact me specifically, at MattsD@MatthewDonaldCareer.com. And you can find me on social media, at MatthewDonaldCareer on Facebook, at MatthewDonald64 on Twitter, and MatthewDonald64 on Instagram. I also have another podcast called The Rich Wits, where two twits talk about writing, is what we call it.
Writing.
It's just a writing podcast to do with my friend. It's pretty good. Also, I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, a dinosaur sci-fi, available for print and Kindle, if you're interested, on Amazon. Pretty good. You've read some of it, right?
Yes, I have. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Only the first one, but I liked it.
Oh, yay. Good to hear. I'm glad you enjoyed what you've read of it so far.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's
it. I plan to read it all. All
right. That's it for this week. Usually I'm like, as we say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites, but then I do like a sound that the animal would make, but Luca wouldn't make a sound.
Right.
Slop, slop. Yeah, just nothing. Here's a sound. That was Luca, everyone. All right, bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.